So this is lesson number 201 called Gluing in the Lungs, Part 1. So there are a couple parts, and I think we're going to visit those lessons throughout this winter. I will spread them out over the next couple months. So, and today's date is November 7th, 2018. So we always start a lesson lying on your back with your legs long and your arms long down by your side. And we begin the lesson by you starting to become aware of yourself. All right, so what does that mean? Well, it's interesting for you to just note, how do you become aware of yourself? In this work, we often start with a body scan, paying attention to what parts of yourself are touching the floor and what parts maybe are not touching the floor. And then you can take that to a deeper level for yourself and whatever that means. So it means asking yourself, how do you become aware? And what presents awareness to you? How do you learn to sense yourself? So we have the floor as the background to give us information, right? Parts of us that are resting, other parts that aren't resting. And then there also might be parts of ourselves that we experience tension or discomfort. Or you may just think to yourself, it's a part of yourself that isn't really relaxed. So this is how you start to become aware of yourself, is exploring these different possibilities and noticing what shows up for you today. So as you lie there on the floor, how are you making contact? Where do you have a sense of comfort and ease? Where perhaps do you lack that sense of comfort and ease, or experiencing any form of tension in your lower back, your hips, your knees? It could be your feet, could be the base of your neck, could be a shoulder. And then from there, I'm going to ask you to slowly roll your head a little bit to the right and left. Go slow enough so that you really can sense the quality of rolling your head to the right and then to the left. Again, noticing, is it freer or smoother going to one side compared to the other? And then you bring your head back to the center. And now you're going to bring your attention to your breath and breathing. And as I just mentioned earlier, is that most of us experience our breath and breathing on our front side. So it's fine, we'll start there. So as you take a breath in, you just want to notice where the expansion goes. Does it go just to your chest? Does it go to your chest and belly, a combination? How does the air travel in through your nostrils, down through your trachea and throat, and enter the lungs? And if your belly protrudes, that's the diaphragm expanding from the expansion of the lungs. And not to have any judgment with this, right or wrong, it's all good. You just want to notice, how at this time do you breathe? And it might also be an experience of, wow, I really lack breathing. there's very little going on, and that's okay. Again, not to judge that, but just to start witnessing, what is your breath like at this point? And then you're going to continue through the lesson to have in the background your inhalation, and now we're going to add in exhalation. So what that means is that you're just always witnessing the taking in of air and then the releasing of air. So the exhalation is just as important. So you observe how you take a breath in, and at the end of that, there's a pause, and then you observe the exhalation. And as you continue to be aware of your inhalation and exhalation, the rise of your chest, the protruding of the belly and diaphragm, you're going to start to go deeper inside yourself and begin to witness and notice the right lung. Starting to think of the right lung resting underneath the right clavicle, into your right shoulder, under where the right armpit is, under the right shoulder blade and ribs. So again, as you continue with your own rhythm of inhalation and exhalation, your mind is drawn to sense and experience the expansion of the top quadrant of your right lung that is housed under the right clavicle, right shoulder, armpit, and on the backside where the right ribs and scapula are. So you're beginning to feel an expansion occurring on your backside as well, in this right upper quadrant. You begin to sense the air traveling into this corner. And how the expansion of your breath affects the skeleton. So there's a rise in the clavicle. There's a rise in the ribs on the front side. There's a slight increase of pressure of the scapula and the ribs on the right side into the floor as the air travels into that quadrant and expands. That is the experience your skeleton begins to have. And then you're going to continue to the middle section expanding of your right lung. So that's traveling a little bit more down the center of your chest, all the way to the backside. And for myself, I like the imagery of my lungs representing like balloons. So I think of as a balloon, if you were to blow into a balloon, right, it expands in all directions equally. So again, as you have this inhalation of breath traveling in through your nostrils, to the back of your throat, down the trachea, you're witnessing the expansion of the right lung, that right balloon filling up first in the high corner, backside traveling down to the middle part of the chest, and eventually expanding all the way down to the lower lobe, which is down where the last rib is on the right side. And you're using your mind and your thought to experience both the expansion and then the contraction, the exhalation, the balloon deflating. Again, then you're eliminating the carbon dioxide, which is just as important. You can't breathe anymore if you're all filled up with the carbon. So you're staying with this, again, expansion, inhalation, and exhalation. And then you're going to slowly let that go. Just pause and rest. And I'm going to read a little bit of this to you, so it's just so interesting. So he talks about the carbon dioxide must go out or come out, and oxygen has to come in. Oxygen is burned during work, and it connects with materials, fats, sugars that we eat. In order to produce the matter used in muscular work, in order to produce the heat, every two atoms of oxygen attach to one atom of carbon and leave the body through the lungs after it's been burned. So basically he goes on to, if we're not efficiently inhaling and exhaling, we're not efficiently burning. He was an interesting man. He was a very, very brilliant man. So he put a lot of thought into things, more than most of us think about our breath and breathing. So now bring some attention back to yourself and just notice if you're sensing anything different now about the right side compared to the left. So once again, draw your attention to the air traveling in through your nostrils, the back of your throat, down your throat, and now we're going to start to expand the left lung. So starting way high up in the left corner, underneath the clavicle, underneath the armpit, where the top of the shoulder blade and ribs are, and seeing the air get into that upper part of the balloon, probably an area that's been kind of all crumpled up for a while, that hasn't really experienced air, oxygen getting there. And you see it expand, and as it does, you feel and sense the clavicle expands and rises, how the ribs on the backside begin to press a little bit closer to the floor. And with each inhalation, after your exhalation, you continue to expand the balloon a little more down the left side of your chest, a little bit more under the armpit. And it becomes your process, right? You're following your inhalation and exhalation. You're following your expansion of the left lung and contraction. And as you continue with this, you're also witnessing any places that may feel restricted, may feel different than the right side, where somehow You don't expand there. You skip over a section of a rib. So the beginning is just to notice. To notice where there might be blocks, stagnant areas. And as soon as you witness those areas, the expansion begins to occur. That area starts to get freed up. So again, at your own pace, you continue to develop the entire left lung all the way down to the left lower rib until you feel the full expansion and then the full release of the left lung. And then you're going to pause and just let that all go. Come back to having a rest, witnessing the air traveling in through your nostrils and down your throat. And seeing if you can have in your thought and in your mind the witnessing of both lungs now fully expanding on your inhalation, and then we're going to start to work on the contraction for your exhalation. So at this point, just notice that probably you don't really fully exhale. You probably exhale a little bit, but often the inhale is larger and longer. So now we're going to draw our attention to the exhalation of the right lung, thinking of squeezing as much air out of that left lung as possible. So that means that the clavicle and the ribs compress and come together. So you continue to witness the expansion, which allows you to feel and experience the contraction. And in your mind and your thought, you can increase that contraction. You can see that side getting very, very tiny and contracted. And that allows a larger expansion. So each time that this right lung gets smaller and releases all the air, there's kind of a rush, a surge into the right lung of expanding with air. Nice. And then you're going to slowly let the right side go, and then we're going to bring our attention over to the left lung to do the same thing, to start beginning to focus and witness your exhalation, releasing all the carbon dioxide out of the left lung so it compresses and shrivels. And then it allows more air then to rise and expand. But each time you see the left side getting smaller and its ability to release more carbon dioxide to get out of you. and you're observing the efficiency of yourself, of your system, that as you shrivel up the left lung and get all that carbon dioxide out, then the inhalation becomes so much larger and bigger. The expansion becomes fuller. Beautiful. And then let all that go. Just let your focus go for a minute. And go ahead and bend your knees. I know it's hard to stay lying on your back, so we'll do a little skeletal movement now. So bend your knees, bring your feet to standing. So as I mentioned earlier in the lesson, continue to have in the background, right, of your mind and your thought, your inhalation and the exhalation. So you don't lose sight now of your two lungs expanding and contracting, but you're just going to kind of bring that to the background. And then in the foreground with your feet standing is you're going to begin to flatten the lower back and then arch the lower back. So you're going to just roll through the pelvis, that nice movement that you all know to do. And there's no synchronizing your breath, okay? Just allow the breath to happen as you press the lower back and arch the lower back, right? It will find its way. It's the only thing that is highly disagreed with this work, is you don't synchronize your breathing. This business of inhale when you do this and exhale when you do this, trust me, you know when to inhale and when to exhale. Let that occur the way it needs to occur. The more important part is, are you inhaling and exhaling? So some of you might be inhaling as you push the belly out, and others of you might be exhaling. It's all good. Just witness what you do. And now you're adding a skeletal movement to the movement of your breath, your inhalation and exhalation. That's it. And really arch the back, right? So that a mouse could go crawling under the back. It's like a tunnel. That's it. That's it. And now bring that to a pause, and you just pause in what I call neutral. And now we're going to work with the development of the diaphragm. Many of you have done this movement before, where we call it the seesaw breath. And some of you, it'll be your first time. And so your expansion of your lungs then leads into the belly area, which is the development of your diaphragm. So again, for many people, if we're not fully inhaling and exhaling, this diaphragm becomes stagnant. And guess what? It's attached to your lower back. So, lower back issues come into play. So, freeing the diaphragm starts to free the lower back and pelvic area. So what you're going to do is you're going to take in a breath and you're going to hold the breath. So you're going to take the breath in into those lungs and really expand your lungs. So the belly actually is pulled in. And then you're not allowed to exhale, but you're going to push that breath down to the belly. So your belly pushes out and your chest now falls. And then you pull the breath back up. So there's no exhalation. So you take in a big breath, fill the lungs, pull the belly in, hold the breath, and now you just use the power of the lungs to push the diaphragm and belly out. And then you pull it back up. And you should be able to go through 2 to 3 rounds before you exhale. So take in a breath, that's it. Push and pull. So what's super cool is when you push the belly out, the back arches. Okay? So again, when people don't experience their diaphragm working, there is no arching the lower back. It's all sucked in and flattened against their lower back. So remember, no exhale. You only exhale when you're totally done. So take a breath in. There you go. Now hold it. Now I want to see you push your belly out. Push your belly out. Push, 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 push more. Push, push. Don't exhale. Now pull it back up. Suck it back up. Nope, you exhaled. You might want to put your hand over your mouth. I know. See, it's hard, right? I mean, this isn't easy. This is back to the pressure. Push it out, push, push, push. And now pull it back in. Now push out, pull in, push out. There you go, right? So now do it faster. Right, so this is this concept of the burning of the calories, right? What it takes to heat your system. So if we're not efficient with our breath and breathing, we're not efficient burning calories. So, more down, Dana. How did I know this was good for you? Okay, so suck in, up, and now push down. There, even more. Yeah. Okay, yeah, no. Okay, pause. Okay. Okay. So, and you're okay with my hands on you, right? Okay, so big breath way up here. Yes! Fill those clavicles. Now, push it down and arch. Oh, there you go. Pull it in. And now push. Push, 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 push. Yeah. This is how I want you to push, like that. Okay, and then suck back in like this. And now push. Yes. Okay, we'll try it again.
So I want to take a deep breath and just...
I want you to flatten your lower back. So breathe in. So that's where you're not getting to the upper ribs in the back. There, that's better. Now, yes, that was it. See, because you haven't been getting here, that's better. Now you're getting it. There, even bigger push. Let's spread your feet just a little bit. Yeah. Remember, back to golf. So there. It's like being pregnant. I know guys don't like that, but if you ever go through the experience, most daddies have to wear, it's the coolest thing. They've created this kind of thing that you can put on for men, and it's got the weight of the baby and stuff. And you know, when we were going through our classes, and they made my husband at the time wear that for the whole class, and he's like, wow, this is pretty miserable. Plus, they look funny. Okay, let's let that go. Straighten your legs and rest. So, you know, I would think most of you had never probably equated the ability to burn calories with your breath and breathing. And it's often not a part of us that we pay much attention to, how little we may be breathing. Okay, so coming back to with your legs long, taking the air into your nostrils, down the trachea, and expanding both of your lungs. So can you expand both of them as equal as possible? Front side, under the armpits, into your back. And often I say, when in doubt, just hallucinate. If you don't feel it happening, imagine it. Use your mind and thought to feel those upper ribs and shoulder blades pressing into the floor. So your whole upper chest area is getting thicker, wider. It's expanding in all directions. And then on the exhale, it's retracting in all directions. Nice. And pause. And you're going to bend your knees again. And now this time we're going to cross your right leg over your left. Okay, we did some crossing, so remember it's your knees that cross, not your ankle. Okay, so your knees cross, right knee over left. So we did some twisting last week, so we're going to add this in. So you're going to start to take your legs over to the right, and let's just gently introduce rotation. So your legs go to the right, and then they're going to come back up. You're just going to do this a few times until you find the place where you can tilt your legs to the right and stay there. So I say that in a way that it means you don't tilt the legs all the way over to the right, right? Because for most people that can be maybe too big of a pull. So you look for this place where it's comfortable that the legs can kind of hang out to the right. And then once you're there, guess what? Back to the seesaw breathing. So now you're going to take in a big breath, expand the chest, right? All the air's in the lungs, hold it, push it down, and pull back up. And this is where you can feel a lot more movement on the whole backside, all the ribs. So you push and pull, keeping the legs over to the right. And see if you can do a couple sets, and then if you need to pause and straighten the legs for a minute, you can. And then you come back. And see if you can really, when you pull the belly in, right, how that air expands on the backside. I know you feel it on the front, but you're looking for those upper ribs to expand. That's it. Push, pull. Push the belly. Excellent. Okay. Let it go. Bring your legs up, uncross, and let's rest. So straighten the legs and rest. So then he talks about The amount of air that we technically move is a half a liter of air that goes back and forth to be sufficient with our breathing, half a liter. So in order to work hard, it's necessary to breathe hard. It's necessary to take in more oxygen, to burn more carbon, and then lose it. So then he goes and talks about the final analysis is burning carbon together with oxygen is what burns our calories. So if our breathing improves, instead of taking in 1/2 liter, we take in 3/4 liter. This small improvement, the burning in the body becomes much better and deeper and is much more direct. So when this occurs, the burning's better, so then you're burning the calories better. So just by increasing your inhalation and exhalation, bend your knees, bring your feet to standing, cross the left over the right. So now the left knee, left, the other right, there you go. Left knee over the right. Again, introduce to yourself. Going to the left. So do it a few times, right? You just easily add this rotation and length to your spine. And you find that place where it's going to be comfortable for you to stay. And then once you're there, you're going to start the seesaw breathing. What does that mean? That means you take a breath and fully expand the lungs, sucking in your belly. And then you push that breath down to push the diaphragm out. You're not exhaling, right? You hold your breath, and your attempt is to do at least 2 rounds. Sometimes we can do 3 rounds. And now see if you can play with the pace, the speed. So can you make it a little quicker, a little faster? So you take in a breath, push, pull, push, pull. Push, pull, push, pull. How fast can you do the push, pull? Right? So he goes in and talks about like a runner running a marathon, right? So that would be push, pull, push, pull, push, pull, push, pull, push, pull. And then if you go super slow, right? Like somebody walking very, very slow, a mall walker, right? Somebody in the mall that's walking is literally burning no calories, right? They're push and a pull and a push and a pull. So go back and forth exploring, speeding it up, going as fast as you can, and then slow. Beautiful. Push, pull. Okay, bring your legs up, uncross, rest. So another way to think of all this is, let's just say, you do have a lower back issue, or let's say you have a knee issue. And so when we experience pain or discomfort, what do you think happens to the breathing? Do you think you want to do the push-pull, push-pull, push-pull? Or do you think it goes way down? Right? So the point being is that there's a relationship to the organization of our breath, right, in breathing, that is relating to any dis-ease or discomfort in the system. So the more efficient your breath and breathing, the more efficient you're moving and functioning. So your breath and breathing can change discomfort. Okay, so back to your breath. Back to drawing air into your nostrils, to the back of your throat, down the trachea, and again, expanding into both lungs simultaneously, starting way high under the clavicles, seeing the top of those balloons expand, and then you exhale, and each time expanding the lungs a little bit more, a little bit deeper, slowly traveling down to the mid-back and the mid-part of your chest. Just taking your time, really feeling now through doing the push-pull and these different positions that something has let go. Something is allowing a deeper level of expansion as well as contraction, the release of the air, to occur. That you're getting into parts of your lungs that have been very dormant, where maybe no air has gone. And you just continue all the way down to the lower lobe until you feel the entire set of lungs are fully expanding and fully contracting in all directions. Under your ribs, under your clavicles, armpits, even all the way up to the throat, there becomes an expansion. And then the release. And what is it like to all of a sudden have some freedom of your breath in some of these areas that you didn't even know you weren't breathing in before? Nice. And then slowly you'll let that go, bringing your awareness just back to how your skeleton now is lying on the floor. Slowly and gently roll your head a little bit to the right and left to see how that feels. And then in a moment, you're going to come up to standing, and if possible, because we're not quite done with the lesson, so if possible, to really stay attentive to your breath and breathing so that you can witness just in the movement of coming up how it changes. How there's a greater need and requirement for your breath. So you just start witnessing how it changes relative to who you are and your movement. And then when you come up to standing, you're going to feel how your breath is in standing, which is very different than lying down. And then we're going to do a minute of walking. Right? Because your lungs are positioned differently. Right? Now we've got gravity working in a different way. So as soon as you stand up, you don't feel the same expansion. Right? Because things want to just drop down to the belly. Right? Everything wants to drop. But you use your mind and your thought that you still have that same expansion happening up in the upper back, under the clavicles. So staying with this, just stay with it, and you can open your eyes and become present to the room. You're going to start to walk. And you can start off slow. Then I want you to go fast. And I want you to pay attention to how your breath and breathing changes. So what is it like now that you're upright? And now you're in a hurry. You got to get somewhere. Let's move. Walk. Fast, fast, fast. That's it. Nice, Marlene. Fast, fast, fast. How is it changing now? What's changing? Right? And now slow it down. And this is maybe where you feel the biggest change. Is it coming back down? It's like your heart, right? Your breath moves with your heart. Okay, come back to your spot. And see how you feel now in standing.